Chapter 3, Three Financial Myths That Destroy Your Future.
As you work and save your hard-earned dollars, have you ever stopped and asked yourself why? Are you creating wealth because you want to be rich? Or would you like a guarantee that you will not be poor or run out of money one day? We've asked our clients this over the years, and we've found a general consensus. Most people want guarantees that they will not be poor. They want security and peace of mind with an assurance that they will not run out of money before they run out of life. Ever since the financial meltdown of 2008, Canadians started seeking and demanding proven financial results to combat the seeming uncertainty and instability of their financial futures. And now more than ever, Canadians are questioning what they're really doing with their money. Most people have followed traditional financial advice from financial advisors and bankers, and many now wonder if their CPP, their Canada Pension Plan, will be there when they retire. This traditional financial system has taught us to follow a familiar path that includes saving 3 to 6 months' worth of living expenses in an emergency fund, paying off all consumer debt like credit cards, cars, etc., maximize your RRSP, your Registered Retirement Savings Plan or pension plan, buy term life insurance and invest the difference, dollar cost average into your mutual funds and the stock market, and pay down your mortgage as quickly as possible. So, this is the plan that will guarantee your financial future? Well, for most, the answer is probably not. The fact is that people are losing control. They've reached a crossroads in building their perfect financial plan. Do they continue to contribute more to their RRSP, focus on paying down their mortgage, add more to their mutual funds, some of the above, maybe all of the above? Then, what happens if we experience another crash like the one in 2008? In addition to all of these questions, some major liquidity problems arise from traditional financial advice. Your RRSP locks up your money until the age of 71 and places restrictions on taking the money out by withholding tax. When you pay down your mortgage, that money is no longer liquid, and then the only way to access the equity in your home is to refinance or sell your property. The bottom line is that each time you give your money to another financial institution, you're also giving them control of your money. Anytime your money flows away from you to someone else, you are no longer in control. If you haven't already, you should start questioning why you're giving up control of your money to institutions like mutual fund companies. These fund managers get paid a percentage of your money regardless of how well they manage it or whether the stock market goes up or down. They get paid no matter what happens to your money, and you're left taking all the risks. Doesn't that sound completely insane? There are cracks in the foundational financial advice most people are following that keeps them from creating real wealth. These fundamental problems are caused by three major myths that continue to be perpetuated by the media and financial gurus. Number one, if you save enough money, you'll retire rich. Number two, average rates of return prove your money is making money. And number three, high risk equals high returns. We want to teach you proven techniques and methods for taking control of your money rather than expect you to follow antiquated financial advice based on unsound, outdated rationale. So now we're going to dissect these myths and discuss how each of them has the potential to damage your financial future. Here's myth number one. If you save enough money, you'll retire rich. Just close your eyes and save seems to be the mantra of too many hard-working Canadians today. They want to save money, they know they should save money, but they've forgotten why they're saving and investing. We have been falsely led to believe that we will be able to retire in lavish comfort if we just save enough money. The reason this myth is so dangerous is because it causes you to lose focus on why you started saving and investing in the first place. Think about your goals and your financial objectives and ask yourself, why are you saving and investing? What are your plans for your savings? Do you plan to travel, spend more time with family, or relocate to a warmer climate one day? Where will you travel? Will you purchase a second home? These may seem like simple questions. However, they take a great deal of planning. Too many people are putting their finances on autopilot, hoping that if they set aside a percentage of their income into RRSP or a pension plan, there will miraculously be a large balance in their accounts upon retirement. Most people recognize that they need to set money away for the future. What they don't realize is that how they are going to spend that money during retirement is just as important as the act of accumulating it. If you're not careful, you will run out of money before your life runs out. Unfortunately, dreaming about money or winning the lottery is not a legitimate financial planning vehicle. So consider this your reality check. The vehicle that you decide to use to build and grow your wealth needs to be able to provide a guaranteed paycheck for life. Statistics say that less than 5% of people will be in a financial position to do the things they want to do when they retire. And you'll be part of this statistic unless you change how you're accumulating your money. It's not as hard as you think. Financial strategies exist that enable you to grow your money securely, safely, and with guaranteed results. Here's myth number two, the average rates of return. Do you sleep soundly at night knowing that there's a, quote, expert out there looking after your money? Well, if you do, you really need to wake up. Mutual fund companies and stockbrokers are quick to display impressive charts of historical average rates of return. And because of these comforting numbers, people go through their lives with a false sense of security. Unfortunately, this practice is only perpetuating one of the biggest investment myths of all time. The false belief is that despite the ups and downs of your investment's returns, the average rates of return will always be in your favor. This is one of the most popular gimmicks used within the financial industry. To demonstrate, we're going to examine the hypothetical life of a $100,000 investment over a four-year period. Let's say you can get an average rate of return of 25% from one of the top mutual funds. This could be any number, but the point is to see that an average rate of return does not mean your money actually grows by that alleged average. Here's our hypothetical example. Now, a 25% return seems pretty impressive, right? But wait just a minute. Let's forget about the percentages on paper and look at the corresponding dollar amounts year by year. So at the start of year one, you invest $100,000. Now at the end of year one, you've seen 100% growth, so your balance is $200,000. But at the end of year two, you've suffered a 50% loss, your balance is back to $100,000. At the end of year three, you've realized another 100% growth, so you're back to $200,000. But at the end of year four, you've suffered another 50% loss, so your balance is $100,000. So, let's understand what happened here. You invested your hard-earned money for the past 4 years, and in the end, you didn't make a nickel. But all the while, the mutual fund managers get to show an average rate of return of 25% for those 4 years in their next prospectus. And it gets worse. After mutual fund fees, you're probably down a couple of points. So who made money during this four-year time period? The only ones profiting are the mutual fund companies, their expert money managers, and your mutual fund advisor and stockbroker. Did you know most stockbrokers are broke? By now, you're probably wondering how fast you can transfer your money to another firm. Or perhaps some of you are thinking that those yearly returns are a crazy, unrealistic example of an average rate of return. Well, you're right, and that's the point. We want you to recognize that using the average rate of return is a crazy way to measure returns. The stock market just does not perform that way. We recognize that rates can be measured by an average rate of return or geometric rate of return. However, the most important returns are the ones that are in your account. In other words, follow your cash, not rates of return. Regardless of averages, you ultimately want to have more cash at the end of the year than you started with. After all, are you interested in manipulated averages or growing your money? For a traditional retirement plan with a 40-year time horizon, there is little to nothing that can be done to recover from a big loss without accepting a considerable amount of risk if 10 years of growth and compounding were removed. Now, suppose that you lose 50% of the value of your mutual fund. That means you would require a 100% return in the fund in order to break even from your losses. And it's going to take several years to recover, let alone see any growth in your account. Ask yourself, is it easier to lose 50% in the market, or is it easier to gain 100%? This type of major loss happens all too often to hardworking Canadians, and the last several years have particularly taken their toll. For many people, the idea of a secure retirement has been erased from their minds. Now they face the reality of having to reset their financial action plans and make different assumptions moving forward. And here's myth number three, that high risk must equal high rewards. The third myth is one that we hear on a daily basis from Bay Street. It's the assumption that the level of reward you want to achieve must equal the level of risk you're willing to take. The following example was taken from an actual summary from a major financial firm who's well-respected in the marketplace. They use summaries like this to calm investors' nerves by showing them that their investments aren't doing as badly as they think and that riding out the storm is the best investment practice. This is a 7-year snapshot of an S&P 500 index that the financial firm used to try to convince their clients that even though the market had dropped 38% from the year 2000 to 2003, it had fully recovered and even escalated up 83% from 2004 to 2007. Now here's the example. On day one, there was an investment made of $100,000. Now between the years 2000 and 2003, the markets went down 38%, leaving a balance of $62,000. Then, between the years 2004-2007, the markets regained 83%, leaving a balance of $113,460. People can be fooled by market data that is quoted freely and loosely to convince you that you must take higher risks in order to create wealth. Now, despite this firm's rosy outlook, the real result for 7 years was only a yearly average rate of return of 1.92% before fees. Now, to make matters worse, the clients that followed the advice of this financial firm were devastated by the credit crisis meltdown of 2008. The S&P ended the decade down 22.5% from where it started. Do you see the danger of the buy and hold strategy in the market? Advisors tell you not to worry because the markets will always come back. But when will that happen? It may not be in your time frame or even in your lifetime. What if this happens for another 3, 7, or 10 years or more? What is the amount of time in which it's okay for your money not to make any money? In many cases, you could have gotten a better return leaving your money under your mattress without the risk. Have you analyzed the results of your own investment selection? It's human nature to want to get a high return on your money, but often this causes people to lose sight of the risks associated with their investments. Greed drives many people, even conservative people, to get caught up in the excitement of the stock market, thinking they can cash in on the next WorldCom or Nortel. Sure, there have been many people who have made fortunes on Bay Street, but chasing returns often leads many investors into making very poor decisions, and as a result, they do not create any real amount of wealth. Just look at the facts. While most investors are out there chasing market returns trying to become wealthy, the average RRSP account is just over $40,000. The bottom line? Taking high risks in the stock market does not ensure you a high rate of return.
People have been led down a primrose path by bankers until the entire world is in the worst condition financially that it's ever been. And it's because the banking function has been taken over by the bankers. Those international bankers inflate the money supply, and people think they have something, and they don't. It's all an illusion. The life insurance companies cannot inflate. And so you've got to store your wealth somewhere, and the best place to store it is with free contract with other free people. That's all life insurance is.